Yo. This is Jeffrey Gittimer. It is Motivation Monday. We are here to help you by giving you a kick in the ankle. And by doing that, we can help you make more sales. We're going to motivate you to get out the door and open up a few new doors and get on the phone and get a few contacts, get past the gatekeeper, do whatever you want to do. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm joined by...
I'm Jen Gluckow, and this is Seller Die, the world's premier sales and personal development podcast. We go live on Mondays for Motivation Monday. We are so excited you're here. What's up, Rachel, Alex, Roger, anyone else who's here? Make sure you say hey, wave to us. Rachel, thank you. I think you were saying, I have great dance moves. I'm not sure about Jeffrey's, but you know.
Yeah. So...
Wait. Oh, okay. Go for it.
I happen to be a good dancer.
Yeah.
Any argument with that?
Oh, you are a better dancer than I am.
All right. Now we're talking. Okay. So today's topic is the brother of motivation.
Oh, I didn't know motivation had a family.
It does have a family. Oh,
who's the sister? Who's the daughter? Yeah. Who's the mother?
There's a couple of lazy bastards in bed. That's demotivation. Or you're fired from your job. Something that demotivates you. But I'm going to talk on the positive side. It's not motivation. It's momentum. Momentum is a very deep subject because one good thing will lead to another good thing if you recognize it when it occurs, if you decide you're going to take advantage of it when it occurs, and if you don't quit after one win.
I love it. I'm excited for our topic, but before we get into it, let's talk about this weekend and some of the stuff we did, because we had a pretty packed weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
And normally we do a warm-up behind the scenes that you guys don't get to see so that we can get our juices flowing and that kind of stuff. And we're going to do it for you guys live today. Doug, what's our warm-up question?
Oh, we have a warm-up question?
Yeah.
I think you have it right there in front of you.
Oh, we do? Well, let me look at it.
All right, let's look at this. What are the three things you'd take with you if you're stranded in the wilderness with no cell phone reception? See, our producers are amazing. They come up with these, like, amazing concepts and thought-provoking things
I don't usually think about. Because I'm often stranded in the wilderness.
Really? Like in your car or?
No. Okay, so if I'm stranded in the wilderness, the first thing that I'm going to want is some kind of food.
Mm.
So probably like beef jerky or something that doesn't need to be, you know, something dried, something spacey. And I'm going to need food and water. I think those would be the two things that you need to make sure you survive, and a blanket. So that if I'm sleeping out under the stars, a wolf will not, they'll start out eating the blanket before they eat me.
Was that three things?
Wolves happen to like blankets. That's a very little known fact.
So I just have to put it out there. I would never be in the wilderness to begin with.
Right.
So it is unlikely I will get stranded in the wilderness with no cell phone reception, because the minute my reception goes down, I'm like, I'm out.
Camping out to Jennifer is a Holiday Inn.
Yeah. So I don't like camping.
That's camping.
I'm scared of it, and I don't use the bathrooms. We all know I have a bathroom thing. So that would just be bad.
Well, there you go, Jen. Thank you for that share.
Yeah, no problem. I prefer clean
bathroom.
What
would you guys – I don't know whether I hit – did I hit the answer?
I don't know.
Food,
you hit
water,
your answer.
Blanket?
You hit your answer.
You went very literal with it. Yeah, I mean, those are the essentials. But what food? What food would you take?
Yeah, I would probably take like healthy things. Sugar Smacks, of course, for cereal in the morning.
It's funny because I know how you travel, and I know like the particulars that you bring along with your travel. So I'm just imagining you with your red bag right in the wilderness.
Yes.
Yeah.
With all of the goodies.
Cheese and crackers.
Yeah.
Maybe a little turkey.
Yeah.
But you have to have something. I mean, if you're going to think about it, I'm going on this 2-week whatever. I'm going to be lost for 40 years in the desert wandering without GPS. I have to look at it from the perspective of what will sustain me, what will keep me alive if I need stuff. I'm not going to eat those poison berries.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you my three things.
Yeah.
I would bring you, because I wouldn't want to be stranded out there alone. I'd rather be stranded out there with you and see there would be comedy and humor, and I wouldn't go crazy trying to talk to myself all day long. I would bring a self, you know, like one of those little things that has cellular data so that we would always have data. Okay. Like
this
I know
is
you're
cheating.
Saying,
this is no, no, cheating. No. This is not in the spirit of the exercise.
The exercise is you're alone.
I would get a guy from AT&T to come build a Wi-Fi plant.
You've now wasted two of your selections on actual people,
exactly.
Actual human
exactly.
beings.
But now I'll have access to everyone. Okay. That's amazing, and we can continue to do Motivation Mondays from the wilderness.
By the way, if it's possible, I spilled my coffee up against the wall.
Jen's bringing infrastructure. That's what she's bringing infrastructure into the wilderness.
I am.
Yeah, you know, we need a four-wheel drive vehicle, like a dune buggy or something.
Oh, so we can escape. Okay, and because Jeffrey has brought the blanket, I would bring my favorite pillow.
Oh, my God. Okay, so... on with the show.
Let's do it.
If you have ever, I'm going to use this as an example. If you watched the Super Bowl 2 years ago, Atlanta was up by 30 points and they decided to play not to lose. Tom Brady scores a touchdown and you just know they have momentum. They re-spirited themselves and they go on to overcome the deficit and win the Super Bowl. The largest deficit ever to be overcome because they garnered momentum. They had an unstoppable offense and a stoppable defense in order to be able to win the Super Bowl. They stopped Atlanta cold. Whatever game plan they had was stupid and wasted. And they played defensively rather than the thing that got them to the win. Had they kept their momentum up, had they kept their the New England would have lost by 35 points or 40 points, but they didn't. They chose to hollow into their armadillo position and hope they didn't lose, and they lost hope.
But this is not a lesson in football, so let's talk about how that relates to sales.
Okay. Let's say it's Friday afternoon, and it's 3 o'clock, and you leave a deal, and you just made it. You just made a $100,000 sale. What do you do? Most salespeople... who fall between stupid and mediocre, will go have a beer. Call five people that they know, both of their friends, and go to a bar and celebrate the victory of the sale. The smart salesperson, the hungry salesperson, will make another sales call.
Sustain the momentum.
Bingo. It is all about sustaining momentum so that when you go home that evening, you're flying, not drunk. You're sober, not drunk.
And don't fly drunk. It's not worth it because
exactly.
Halfway through the flight, you get a hangover.
And you barf.
Oh. Wes, thank you for sharing this live video, guys. We would love for you to share this out. We're going to dive deep into momentum and help you with some strategies that are really going to kick off your week. If you could share this with your peeps, that would be amazing.
I'll also give you one more airline tip.
Oh, boy.
If you go on the airline and you are drunk and you have to barf in the middle and you go to the barf bag, I guarantee you some kid has stuck gum in there and you can't open it. That's like, that is the epitome of airline reality.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I used to sell Cutco knives back in the day in high school, I would make like, no, I don't get music. Only you get the music. Okay. So I would make a big sale, like an $800 knife set to a person who already had a million knives and kitchen knives. And I would be so excited. Okay. I would sit in my car and do you know what I would do?
Clip your nails?
So first, no, I don't. I've never clipped my own nails. So first, fun fact, I don't know how to use a nail clipper.
Wait, hold on. We can't bury the lead here. I know your story has interesting things that have to do with sales, but we have to talk about the fact that you don't know how to use nail clippers.
I've never used one on myself.
How about vacuum cleaner?
I know how to use a vacuum cleaner. Okay, I am a pro. I
Jen
love vacuuming.
Jen would not bring nail clippers into the wilderness.
No, I would leave those at home. Actually, I don't own a pair.
You know, in the wilderness, it's hard to find a manicure place.
That would be a travesty.
I've never been there, but I've never found one.
Oh, man. Okay, so... I would sit in my car. The first thing I would do, the very first thing I would do was count my commission because, like,
everyone does
who
that.
Doesn't do that,
standard, right?
Right. And I knew if I sold the $800 set, I already knew what the commission would be. But I would start calculating in my head, okay, so if I make three more of these today, or if I make four more of these today, here's what I'm going to make, and start psyching myself up for it. And then what I would do is, because I would set all of my appointments on the same day, because I was like in high school, so I would you know, do it on the weekends. I would make cold calls. Or warm calls.
But at Cutco, they always tell you to refer somebody. There's always a sheet.
Right. So I would use that sheet, and I would take like 10 people right off after I have that high of coming off this amazing sale. I just sold the biggest knife set you could ask for, whatever it may be, and I would make those calls because I didn't want to lose the momentum. Like the energy was in me. It was so cool. But what happens to most people when they go make a sale?
They quit.
I think your mentality is interesting to talk about as well, because when you were counting your commission, you were not thinking about what you were going to do with that money. You weren't thinking about what you were going to buy or where you were going to go. You were thinking about, how do I make more of this money?
Mm-hmm. I made one, I can make another.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, Doug, because a lot of you guys are thinking about, okay, well, I just made that commission, so now I can go buy this or I can go buy that. But what if you start thinking about, how do you make more commission? How do you capitalize on that one sale and make five times more?
So let me share.
Getting a lot of cash registers today.
A cold call story.
There we go.
When I was cold calling in Manhattan and I made a sale, I would cold call again and cold call again and cold call again and talk to other prospects that I'd called on, and I would do it until after 5. I normally worked until about 7 p.m. because I found that most decision makers hang in their office until after hours, and there's no admin there to block the call, and they will pick the phone up. I learned that more sales are made before 9 a.m. and after 5 p.m. than any other time during the day. So it's not just a matter of momentum. There's also a learning curve that's involved in this, that you don't quit too soon.
All right, I faded 7.
You never quit too soon. You assume that somebody's going to be there. And I would get voicemail. After I got about 7 or 8 voicemails, I said, okay, I'm going to stop for the day and start tomorrow. But baby, you would be amazed at who answers that phone after 5 o'clock.
Well, and so in both of those stories, I think the mentality shift is from income to wealth, like thinking about your income as opposed to how do I make this, turn this income into actual wealth?
Yeah. So that's
but
exactly
I had an
it,
ownership so, mentality. Yeah. I had a founder mentality, not an employee mentality. And I think that's a big shift in thinking.
So we've done a great job of talking about sort of sustaining momentum, but I would love to hear your thoughts on how did the Patriots get on that momentum? How did they steal the momentum? How did they begin that momentum streak?
The Patriots have experience. The Patriots have solid players, and the Patriots have a game plan, and they follow their game plan in certain scenarios.
Well, I think even when things were going bad, they didn't wilt. They said, no, here we have the game plan. It hasn't worked exactly how we wanted it to, but we're going to stick with it and see it through.
And maybe they made a few adjustments. You know, football teams are making films of everything every time, and Brady sits on the sideline, and he's a student of the game during the game. You can say, I mean, I don't like his hair. I don't like anything about him, but he's a student of the game during the game. And that's critical in any kind of comeback.
As a salesperson, you need to be, your mind needs to be just as strong-willed as a sports player out there that's not ready to give up. As a sports player out there that's 10 points or 20 points or 30 points behind, whatever game it may be, and is thinking in their head that whole time, I can still win this thing. I got this. And that's how you need to look at your sales. So like, you may be behind. You may lose a sale. You need to break up whatever that negative energy is. Do whatever you need to do for you to cut that negative energy so that you can go in with a winning mentality that the next sale is one you're going to win.
Now, the Patriots had a strategic advantage. They'd already done it before. They'd already won the game. They'd already come from behind. So they knew they could do it or it could be done. Yes, it seemed monumental in terms of the score, but they only did it one touchdown at a time, one field goal at a time. And that's the key for them.
Yeah, I'll also throw this out here, and you guys can discuss how this applies to sales, but I know a lot of times in sports, a strategy to steal momentum or to gain momentum for your team is to take a big risk. I think back to the Saints during their Super Bowl run with those sneaky onside kicks. It's a risky play.
Exactly.
Could turn disastrous, but if it succeeds, all of a sudden, now you have the momentum.
They pulled it off. They beat a poorly coached team. And see, Peyton Manning was a victim of poorly coached teams in Indianapolis and Denver. And he arguably the best quarterback of our time. You could probably argue for Tom Brady, but I, on a one-on-one, I'll take Peyton Manning. And I think that they were out-coached every time that they lost. So the coach has a lot to do with it. He's cheering people on like, hey, you can do this. The fans, hey, you can do this. Momentum is not a solo thing. Momentum is a bunch of people who have the experience, the fans that are egging you on. And maybe you just call your, if you're out there making a sales call, call your best buddy who's going to kick your ass for you.
But you need to be cheering yourself on too. Yeah. Like it's what you're talking to yourself and saying to yourself in your head. Are you saying to yourself, ugh, I just lost that sale. I have to go try another one. Or are you saying like, all right, I just lost that sale, whatever. I'm ready for the next one. I'm going to win this one. I mean, the two self-talks are totally different. And back to your point, Doug, because I'm not really into football. For those of you who know me, you know I don't give a shit at all about football. But...
Thank you.
But I do love sales and I do love selling. And in order to take a sales risk in any sort of way, you need to be prepared. You cannot take a risk on the field or in the sales field if you are not prepared. Prepared with knowledge, prepared about what's going on with them and why they may be even interested in talking to you. You know, prepared in the right ways. And that's when you can take a risk.
If you watch a baseball game and there's two outs in the bottom of the ninth and there's two runners on, and a reliever comes in, and he has to get the next out, or they lose the game. There's an issue that he has called self-talk. Mm. He's out there going. He's not saying, "Oh, I sure hope I get it over the plate." No. He's saying, "I'm going to get it over the plate. I'm going to throw a strike. I'm going to throw where this guy can't hit it." Not, "Geez, I sure hope I don't." Because if you hope you don't, I promise you it's going to happen.
But
self-talk equals self-performance.
Ooh, I love that. But how much training do you think a sports player gets, not just in like the actual practice of hitting the ball or throwing the ball or whatever sport they may be in, but in the actual self-talk discipline?
Not enough. And salespeople the same, not enough. You have to be out there and rely on your education, your past performance, and your attitude. Your self-confidence and your belief system will kick in when you're trying to start momentum in your direction. Maybe you just lost a sale. That's the perfect time to start. You're pretty darn low. Anything you do after that is a step up.
And if you remind yourself of all your past wins, or you have like a running sheet with your past major wins that you're proud of, you can look at those things like on your phone and be like, oh, wow, I freaking rock. All right, I'm ready for this now. But you need some visual, something to demonstrate where you can celebrate successes you've had in the past so that when you are in that low place, you can take a pause and go to the bathroom and look at your phone and be like, all right, I rock. I can do this.
Yeah, I never thought of peeing as being a motivational moment, but now that you mentioned it.
I just mean like if you're with a customer and you need a break. You can't, like, look at your phone in front of them, go to the bathroom.
And don't forget to wash your hands.
Yeah, so we have a lot of friends here that I want to make sure we say hi to. Greg, Vic, Harry, Mark, Brian, Mike.
Yikes.
Tom, Lee, Ray, Michael, Pamela. Wow, this is freaking amazing. Hey, guys, hey. And Greg, who was obviously here from the very beginning when we were talking about what you or I would bring to a wilderness, I don't know, retreat. I don't know why we were in the wilderness in the first place, but if we were stuck there.
We wander in the desert.
Greg would bring, this is a smart guy, water, a lighter, and a towel. We can make s'mores. Oh, no, we wouldn't have them.
Towel's a great decision because it's multi-purpose, multi-use. You can do a lot of things with a towel.
Yeah.
Lay out and get a suntan.
You can make it a pillow.
I would disagree with water and food, yours, Jeffrey, because that's in supply where
you're
gonna
go to a fucking 7-Eleven in the wilderness.
Yeah, but who's gonna pick it for you?
Forage?
How are you gonna get that?
You could hunt. You gotta get it.
I'm not hunting.
Hold on, Doug. Famous Jewish hunters.
Vic Cruz wants to know: have we ever used a virtual assistant for data entry? Yes, we have. We have found people on Upwork. I recommend. Harry says his wife knows everything. Mark has a question.
Hey, just bring your wife. She knows everything already.
Oh, to the wilderness. I get it.
Yeah. That's a classic.
That's funny, Harry. Okay. So Mark says, I sell custom log home packages. We would need that in the wilderness.
Thanks, Mark.
And look after construction as well. I have a client who is building in the spring and is contemplating a regular 2x6 framed house or one of my log packages. I have the construction contract either way, but would prefer they build the log package. A cost comparison has the log package at about $21,000 more than the traditional 2x6 framing. Any suggestions on a way to sway to the log? Have focused on value and beauty of log, longevity of log versus 2x6, etc.
Just say if you're having a fireplace and you're out of wood, you got plenty right in your side door.
So,
I'd lived in a log cabin for a period of time. Like in a Dutch oven log cabin, they kept adding on.
You did?
Yeah.
Where?
In Bean Blossom.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But the house had four fireplaces. It was okay. It was kind of fun. You had to light the fire all the time. But in the end, I want a house.
Well, it really matters, number one, what this person wants, what your customer wants. And you don't want to push them too far into the log thing where they feel like you're being pushy, because then they're not going to go with you either way.
And the answer is call four of your customers who have log cabins and get your new customer to go over there and talk to them.
Yeah. And I would also find out, like, what are the things that the customer or prospect cares about the most, and figure out a way you can build those things into the log cabin. Because if you can tell her or him that they're going to get XYZ and those are the things that they really care about the most, but that they come with the log cabin, then they would be
And they more come with the firewood.
It.
I mean, you're going to use the excess logs to keep the fire going.
Yeah. Also, you mentioned the longevity of the log. So they might be investing an additional $21,000 up front right now for the log cabin. How much extra time could that last them without needing to repair it and improve on it versus not investing the $21,000 right now? Because really, when you're building a home, what's an extra $21,000 in most cases?
Chicken feed.
I mean, you know, so how, what kind of long-term value is that going to give them? And I would talk to them about that.
I think you'll be the talk of the neighborhood. I think your neighbors will come over and ask you, why did you choose to do this? I think it's a conversation piece. And as long as your R factor, which is your insulation factor, doesn't harm you in the winter, I think you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So Mike Brooks wants you to know that the Patriots have the GOAT.
Oh, my God.
Man, people are just – they're never going to let
They're up my ass about everything.
And the Pats also focus on fundamentals. They do the little things extremely well.
You know what? Let's talk on Motivation Monday next week after the Super Bowl is over. And you can – I would bring a crow just in case you have to eat it.
Oh, the Super Bowl's next week?
Yeah.
You see how much I follow sports.
Can we say that? Let's check with the. I don't know if we can say those two words. Those are, you know, all the radio advertisements have to say that the big game.
Oh,
seriously?
Really? Oh boy!
You're
okay.
Not allowed to say Super Bowl.
Somebody since when? That's crazy.
Well, it's kind of a an advertisements. It's that's the NFL's property. You can't say.
If
you ever see a TV commercial, they always say get your TV.
You know, the NFL property also includes the referees, which pretty much suck.
All right, big game is coming up. All right, so Greg says they have Brady and Belichick. That all that matters. Tom is viewing us from his home office in West Houston.
Tom.
West Houston.
Yeah. Something west of Houston.
That's across from East Houston.
Yeah, Lee's from Seattle. What's up, Lee? All right. So let's talk about this weekend for a second, because and then we'll bring it back to momentum.
Isn't West Houston Mexico?
What? No.
How far west can you go and not hit Mexico?
I don't know. He'll have to tell us. So this weekend on Friday at like 7 o'clock in the morning, we flew 4 hours to Phoenix.
Yep.
Landed around
noontime.
All right. Got to the hotel around one.
Yep.
At 3 o'clock, we had some appointments to meet with people.
Yep.
Went to an event.
Yep.
Friday night for the 100 top people, top females to know in Phoenix. I'm part of this group in Charlotte. They asked if I would come support them and Jeffrey would come support them in Phoenix. So we gladly did.
We did.
And then
and it was a not very nice affair.
Oh my God, it was amazing. It was in a private airport hangar for Southwest, like this huge venue where they actually brought in a plane. You can go in and out of the plane, which to me and you may not be that exciting because we go in and out of planes.
Right, I was just on one an hour ago.
but it was a very cool event space, like a very, very cool event space and an amazing party of these top high performing females in, you know, whatever, any industry in Phoenix. And then Saturday morning,
yes, we
booked ourselves silly. Like we had a breakfast meeting with Harvey McKay.
Yep.
And for those of you who don't know him, you should go buy Swim with the Sharks. Amazing book, but also an amazing man. And after a 3-hour breakfast meeting with him, we had a second breakfast meeting with the president of his company. And then we had a lunch meeting all in the same spot, obviously no time
Clifford
to
Jones
travel.
Was the president. And then
yeah, all
of the No Tribe people came over.
The founder of No Tribe and her husband and her daughter came and had lunch with us.
So we had literally, we had either two breakfasts and a lunch or I don't know, breakfast and your first lunch and your second lunch, but we kept eating the entire time.
Oh my God, yes.
They changed servers. The kitchen caught on fire.
Yeah, the fire department came. They would not give us free food, which was bullshit.
Right. It was an adventure, I'll just
say
that.
Well, everything was already cooked. What the hell?
That's funny.
Anyway, so we packed that day silly, and then we literally left from our lunch meeting to go fly back home.
Yeah.
And what we were thinking of in advance of this was the momentum we were going to have.
Old
from
number 99, momentum. And we kept building on the momentum of our meeting. And it was one thing led to another, led to another. Ideas were flowing. We were in the groove.
Mm-hmm.
Because Harvey McKay has been my dad-like mentor for the past 25 years. So it's exciting for me just to hang with him, just to listen to what he has to say about anything. And we're going to have the honor of hosting the Harvey McKay podcast on the Sell or Die Network. So
yeah, diehards,
you can stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
But more important, I want to find out what he's thinking about, where he's growing to, because he's in his 80s and he's still, you know, his books – if you don't own his books, Dig Your Well and Swim with the Sharks, something's wrong.
People are writing in, you know, Michael wrote in McKay 66,
right.
Brian Harvey, How to Swim with the Sharks. Exactly.
Exactly.
He's a phenomenal human being.
And he will be a valuable asset to our network because he's going to help other people in their thinking and in their doing. And one of the things that he talked to us about, he has some pretty famous lines that he's used, and I have followed him for years, so I know them. But he said he'll hold his book up and say, don't read this book.
And then
counts one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. And then he says, study it. And that, like when I say, hey, don't read the book, study it, it doesn't have the same effect.
No.
You know, he has, it's not just a matter of his quotes. It's a matter of timing. And he knows exactly how to milk the cow.
Oh, yeah. He's phenomenal. But the cool thing was we made a sale at each of those meetings. Okay?
Yeah.
We made a sale at each of those meetings. And at each of those meetings, the sale kept getting bigger because we were on fire. And so, you know, you have to think about things like, well, what if—
And so was the kitchen.
Literally. So you have to think about like, okay, so what if in the middle one we didn't make that sale?
Oh my gosh.
How could we have still made that third sale? How could we have regained our momentum? What could we have done? So let's talk about those what ifs, because I think it's happens a lot where you guys as diehards set up a day full of appointments and you're gunning for all of them to be, you know, all signed contracts, and the third one or the second one just doesn't go as you planned.
If the second one doesn't go, you can't let it go without hope for the next thing. In other words, you've reached a roadblock in that appointment. And what you're going to try to do, you have someone put a barrier in front of you. You have to set a positive expectation for the next meeting. If you do that, like, we're going to get you this, we're going to get you that, we're going to do everything we possibly can for you, and let's meet again on Monday. And he goes, okay, Monday. So you leave with an agreement.
So can you lose major momentum by punishing yourself for minor failure?
Totally.
Yes.
Totally. And you get down on yourself like, oh, I wish I should have done this. I couldn't have done that. This guy wasn't cooperative. This guy was cheap, whatever it was. Don't start going down that path. Just say, look, I didn't get it this time. I've made a plan to get it next time, and I'm going to get it.
So,
period. And then move on.
I think it's interesting what Doug just brought up, because the words he used was punishing yourself, okay? And, like, everyone wants to know how to sell. Give me more selling strategies. Give me more, you know, how do I close, this, that. But the biggest thing about sales is it's in your head. Like, it's what you're telling yourself, and it's how you're telling yourself whether you're going to win or you're not going to win. Mm-hmm. And that self-talk is what's either going to push you forward or hold you back.
Self-talk equals self-performance. I'll say it again.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that goes in to relieve, the athlete that comes on the field to play defense from switching from offense, they're telling themselves how to win, not, oh my gosh, we're going to lose, we're going to die at this. The other team is better than we are. They never say that.
So yeah. We've talked a lot about sports and used sports as an analogy. I'd love to use another analogy from a subject that's a lot less divisive, politics.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not divisive at all. Okay, not as leaving.
No, but in politics, there's something called political capital. And so you win an election and you've got the people, your constituents on your side, and you have a level of political capital or leverage that you can use to get your policies enacted.
Yes. Just make sure that it's legal and it doesn't come back to bite you in the ass.
Right. So that's a great point. So in politics, political capital is equivalent to sports momentum. So in sales, if somebody's just made a huge sale and they've got now their sales capital, would you encourage them to try to get something, another smaller deal done, or go for another type of home run, huge deal?
It depends on who you feel is, quote, most likely. So you know your prospects and you know what stage you are at that particular moment. You can go to a big prospect, even if you don't think it's going to finish, and get to the next plateau, get to the next level in the sales cycle. Or you can go to a smaller person and say, hey, you know, today is a great day and I wanted to make it greater. I just helped so-and-so, and I'd love to help you.
Yeah. It depends on the type of thing you're selling, because some people have lots of smaller sales, and other people have, like, these big, hairy, scary deals that take, you know, 6-8 months to close. But for me, what I would do is, if you have a major win, go for the thing that you think is going to be the hardest for you right now. Whatever that most, the toughest thing is going to be, like, go for it. Right now is when you have that amazing energy, that high in your head for winning. Go get the big thing.
Jen thinks a lot like a president in that first term. They get the big win,
exactly.
And then they go for the huge policy piece.
Yes.
Elections and
yes.
Marriages have consequences.
What?
Marriages?
Oh.
What?
Oh.
Oh, boy. What's on your mind, honey?
And there you go. So
I'll say this, like, when I'm up in tennis, like, and sorry to bring it back to sports again,
when I'm
up in tennis and I hit a really good shot, the first thing I do is not go for the next biggest shot on the planet. But then if you ever watch tennis or you're familiar, like, you recenter yourself. You get back into that center of the court so that you can cover the whole thing. And so whether you win or you lose, you're always going back to center. And so you have to find your center ground,
Ooh.
Your center mentality,
I like it.
your mindset ground that's going to be your foundation.
Your self-confidence ground, your
yeah.
belief ground,
all
your
of it.
Attitude ground,
yeah.
and all the things that have gotten you to this plot of ground.
That's right. Now, we have more friends to say hey to. We have Pamela from, I cannot pronounce the place you're from, in New York. It sounds like someplace in upstate New York. Whoa. I'm going to go for it. Wyandak. Wyandonch. Yeah. I don't know.
It's Wyandak.
Oh, there we go. Thank you, Nada.
Yeah. It's just north of Bumfuck.
So, hey, Pamela, city. We're glad you're here. Zach is here. What's up, Zach? Pamela says water is necessary, like clean water if you're out in the wilderness is necessary. Yeah. I agree with that. I'd probably have Volvic. I would have Volvic sponsor my wilderness trip.
I would have a camel so they could drag all our shit.
Oh, my God. Okay, Shelby is here. What's up? Melissa's here. Good afternoon from Kennett Square, Pennsylvania.
Okay,
Vic wants to know, how would you suggest keep sales momentum with inline sales? What's inline sales?
I don't know.
Tell us more. We want to answer your question, Vic.
Yeah.
Mark says, let's Jen's take on Super Bowl thinking.
Online sales. He might have meant online sales. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and talk about it.
Okay.
The best way to generate momentum online is to get ratings and get testimonials and get videos that prove, like, if you go to Amazon and you want to buy anything, you don't buy it before you read about the ratings. And so if you have a little bit of momentum, then you contact all your customers and say, please rate us, so that when they do rate you, either by number of stars or a comment or even a video, which you can now get on Amazon easily, that's your momentum builder. Your customers are your Mo's.
So we'll get into this really deep in another episode, because I know we don't have time for it right now.
What
but
do you mean we don't have time?
Hold on. Well, no, my concept.
Uh-huh.
But with online sales, this is a totally different beast. And I want to know, and it is online sales. He typed it in there. I want to know, or is Vic a girl? I'm not sure. Okay, so I want to know, like, are you looking at each sale as a number? Or are you looking at each, like, transaction number 0124 just came in, 0125, you know, or are you looking at them as people? So when we get a sale, I get a cha-ching sound on my phone.
Yeah,
and I and it's really fun. And sometimes it's annoying when there's too many sales, but like, how could that be annoying? I just turn off the sound, right? Because everyone wants too many sales. And I look at each person's name. And this is a trick that I picked up from someone else. But I actually send it out to the universe to thank that person for supporting us. And I send it out there that I hope that they get 10x value from whatever they paid us. They get that 10x return on whatever product they bought. And by being grateful and by putting it out there, I know it sounds very woo, whatever, you will build that momentum, and you will start to think about, like, okay, I just got all these online sales. Now, how do I get more? What email can I send to get more? What can I do to talk to the people who are buying them? And you can't think of them as numbers. Like, we got the 15th sale today, 16th sale came in, 17th sale. No. Rachel bought, now Jim bought, now Lucy bought. Thank you.
I think that the number should be on the internet, especially more like 100x. Because people go to these sites all the time. You'll have, at any given moment, there might be 100 people on your book,
mm-hmm.
Sales in a New York Minute.
Mm-hmm.
And so 10 of them are going to make the decision to buy, but someone's going to come back and then come back again. So I feel as though the more presence you have and the more testimonial you have that your product is good online, you're going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, but we'll talk about that more in detail in another episode.
More
so, Mark
now, about
says,
online.
Mark says, thank you. This is really cool, Jeffrey. Like, this is such a huge honor. Brian says, you ready for this?
Yeah.
You have become the Harvey of today, Jeffrey.
Whoa! Thank you.
That is so cool.
Exactly.
Rachel wants to know why you were blushing when you were talking about marriage. I think that's when he was blushing, right, Rachel?
I was not blushing. I was bluffing.
I don't know. You turned red like this mic thing.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. And Vic says, great advice. Thanks. 10x return. Gratitude. Love it. Cool.
So, at the beginning of the show, we talked about what we would take into the wilderness if we had three items.
Yeah.
I would actually tell everyone, do not take Jen or Jeffrey's new book out into the wilderness. Because there's nothing in there on hunting or gathering.
Exactly.
But you could use it to start your fire.
Yeah, sure. Read it, and then read it again, and then use it to start your
fire. All right. Well, I want to know, like, now that we have so many of you guys on there, if you are stuck out in the wilderness, I'm going to read
you the exact prompt
that we got. What are the three things you would take with you if you're stranded in the wilderness with no cell phone reception?
And keep in mind, there's no right or wrong answer unless you say, bring my cell phone.
So Mark says, look out, America. Jeffrey and Jen for president and vice president. Yeah. They'll run on a no bullshit platform. But who would be president and who would be VP?
I would be president.
No, no, I don't think so. Honey. No. People want to elect a female. It's time.
Do they?
Yeah. Boom! All right, I love it.
Tell us what's coming up this week. We have a big, big week this week,
Jen. Oh, yeah, we really do. Let's see. Tuesday, we have Jessica Pettit, and she's going to talk about diversity. And she's
one of my favorite topics.
And she's going to talk about sensitivity, diversity, and humor, and how they're linked. And it's a pretty fascinating discussion.
I don't say this every episode, and people who listen to this Monday Motivation will vouch for me on this. I don't say this every episode. That was one of the best episodes we've ever done.
It's unique. It's definitely unique and cool and different, and it gives you a different perspective of things to think about.
It was a tiptoe one for me because I did not grow up with diversity in mind the way it is right now. And because I have four daughters and four granddaughters, I've always been female-oriented. So I don't think of it from a male-female perspective. It's just a whole different generation now. And I just kept asking her deeper questions and deeper questions, and I think that's what generated the volume. I talked less, and she talked more.
Everyone listened, but everyone challenged one another. And I think that if you listen to that episode with an open spirit, you're going to learn something from that episode.
Agreed.
Totally, totally. Okay, then on Wednesday we have a Sell or Die Extra. Last month, Jeffrey was on a fitness business podcast. And so we took a small snippet of the interview in which Jeffrey illuminates on exercising through the customer's why. Ooh, I love the play on words there. So if you're having trouble getting through to the customer, you can listen to that episode because he's going to talk about how to get through the customer. And do you give any of your favorite like workouts or anything?
No.
Oh, okay. I had to when I was on that show.
I do. Yeah, oh, okay. I gave a couple.
Yeah. Then on Thursday, we have Pete Makaitis. He's the host of the How to Be Awesome podcast.
Yeah,
and he talks to Fortune 500 companies and helps, like, he's like the thinking strategy
guy.
He's
the most unassuming human being you've ever seen in your life. And he has every logo of every Fortune 500 company on his website.
It's amazing.
For someone that he's done work for or with.
Literally, he is a thinker, and he is a cool, cool thinker.
Totally.
So Brian has a question for us. Brokers or direct reps, which do you two prefer when running a sales force? We will answer that on our next, on another Sell or Die, because we're out of time for today.
My answer is direct reps.
But I have pros and cons for both, so we'll talk about that in depth, Brian. Friday is our best of episode, where we take the best of the best and we cut them all together to give you one short episode with the best
one
of the best.
One hell of a show, I can tell you that.
That's
so,
right.
So if you share this with somebody you know, both your friends, whatever, we're very grateful for that. Subscribe a little bit.
So February is coming up, and you know we are
it
always
is?
Transparent
hey,
with
February's
you.
February's coming up.
We are always transparent with you with our goals. And our goal for the month of February is to break 5,000 downloads for more than half the episodes. So each episode we get a download number, a statistic, and we're getting pretty close to 5K for each episode.
So please,
we need your help to do that. Like, we cannot sit here and do
we
that
can't
alone.
Do this by ourselves.
Oh my God,
we need your help.
Also, just to give you guys a sneak peek, because you are our diehards and we love you guys the mostest. We are hosting a challenge in the month of February. I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but we want you guys to participate, so make sure you're in that Facebook group so you can get information about the free challenge that we're going to be hosting.
I also think it's important to tell every diehard, and there are thousands of you, that my birthday is the 11th, and I'm a size extra large in Ralph Lauren. So if you're at that mall and you have that credit card swinging around, I like plaid.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
So.
All right. Thank you, guys. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, and I'm reminding you, just a brief reminder, to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Oh, yeah.
Bye-bye.